Our gracious Father, what a joy to be part of this worship service on the Lord's Day today in the afternoon, in the morning and evening, and to be taken up with the gospel truths of our Savior. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else, Lord. We are truly a blessed people. And we ask now, Lord, that Thou wilt help us to close the Lord's Day in such a way that, again, we will bring glory and honor to Christ. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt not allow us to rob the Lord of His glory, but that all glory and honor might be given to our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul defines the gospel as the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. No book demonstrates this gospel truth more powerfully than the book of Acts. Acts is the only biblical book that chronicles the history of the church immediately after Christ's ascension. As such, it provides us with a valuable account of how the church was able to grow and spread from Jerusalem into the rest of the Roman Empire. In only 3 decades, a small group of frightened Christians in Jerusalem was transformed into an empire-wide movement of people who had committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, ending on a high note with Paul on the verge of taking the gospel to the highest government official in the land, the Emperor of Rome. Perhaps there is no greater example in the book of Acts of the gospel being the power of God unto salvation than what happened on the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out powerfully and 3,000 souls were saved. The impact of the gospel on Pentecost was evident immediately. We read in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 47, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Not only was the impact of the gospel witnessed on a large scale like what happened on the day of Pentecost, but Acts chapter 9 records how the gospel supernaturally changed certain individuals. We will see from this chapter how the gospel makes an impact in 3 ways: in salvation, in service, and in society. Let's consider first the gospel impact in salvation, Saul's conversion. Saul's conversion experience on the road to Damascus changed his whole life and thought. Saul, who later became Paul, speaks of his salvation 3 times in Acts chapters 9, 22, and 26. Similarly, he mentions 3 times in his letters that he was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man who persecuted and tried to destroy the church of God, and therefore he was the least of the apostles. After reading the account of Paul's conversion in Acts 9, it appears that everyone in the company saw a baffling light and even heard something. However, only Saul received the clear message of his call. He describes it in greatest detail to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. I'd like to just read you a few verses from that chapter. It's really Paul giving his testimony in front of King Agrippa in terms of what the Lord had done on the road to Damascus in saving his soul. Listen to the words of Paul. "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Can you imagine being there in the palace with King Agrippa and hearing this testimony of Saul's conversion? The gospel impact on the life of Saul was felt immediately in the church. In Acts chapter 9, verses 10 and 19, we read, And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But notice the next verse. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately they fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he had received meat. He was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Truly, we see in chapter 9 the record of Paul's conversion and the impact that the gospel had in this man's life. And the consequences of this impact are evident immediately. What did Paul do when the Lord converted him? He at once began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul did not teach theology nor philosophy. He preached the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom he was now fully convinced that he was the Messiah and the Son of God. And what a turnaround, what a radical change in this man, from persecuting the church and terrorizing the saints to now a man preaching Christ crucified, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Because what had happened in the life of Paul was that Paul, now Saul, had become a Christian, and the Lord had come into his life and given him a new birth, a regeneration, because the Lord said that Saul was a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. And that's one of the great gospel impacts that we see here in the book of Acts, especially in chapter 9. We see how the Lord truly shows in probably the most likely candidate for salvation, the Saul who became a trophy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, commenting on the conversion of Saul, a Christian author writes, This is what happened to Paul. His basic attitude of hate changed into love. Usually John is called the apostle of love. However, Paul speaks of love more than the Gospels or the letters of John. This is apparent, for instance, in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here speaks a person liberated from the power of hate and aggression. Its every detail reflects his own experience by giving testimony to the impact of the gospel in his heart. Listen to the words of Paul. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And that was what Paul was converted unto. He was a man of hate, of rage, of persecution. And now the gospel had impacted his life. And his whole testimony here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 speaks of the effects of the gospel and the power of the gospel to change a man who hated to a man now who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and the people who he persecuted now are called his brethren. And the reason why the gospel converts people, brings them to faith and repentance, in the case of the Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter 9, is because of Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And this is the word that impacted the life of the Apostle Paul and set on course a man who would be raised up to no longer be the terrorist, but the pursuer of God and the great apostle to the Gentiles. Christ's words spoken to Saul on the road to Damascus were accompanied by power, which resulted in the humble conversion of this once proud Pharisee. And is it not our desire, brethren, as we minister the gospel, we pray for the power of the gospel to be unleashed upon the hearts of sinners? Because when it comes down to it, when we preach the word, we may prepare as a preacher. We may have outlines and we may have studied hard. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, there could be no conversion on the heart of sinners. There could be no power changing in the life of a sinner without the company of the power of the word of God. Christ's words spoken to Saul on the road to Damascus were accompanied by power, which resulted in the humble conversion of this once proud Pharisee. And Paul was humbled. He was made low. He was made to realize his nothingness before the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ encouraged the Apostle Paul in that he was the chosen vessel that the Lord would call to preach the gospel to the Gentile nation. So we see here the gospel impact in salvation. But notice, secondly, let's shift our focus now from the gospel impact in salvation to the gospel impact and service. Not everyone in the church is called to be a preacher and a teacher like the Apostle Paul. God uses all kinds of people in church service. One such humble individual God used mightily was a widow by the name of Dorcas. We read about her at the end of chapter 9. Listen to the words of chapter 9, verse 36 through 41. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, Luke tells us that there was a disciple named Tabitha. Now, the name Tabitha is a Hebrew name, which means beauty or grace. The name Dorcas is a Greek name, which is derived from the Aramaic, which means gazelle. And the scripture makes it clear in the detail in verse 36 that this woman was full of good deeds and acts of mercy. Dorcas got sick and died according to this portion of scripture. And when Peter came to see her, it says in verse 39, all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. It seems that Dorcas was a part of a group of widows who spent their time making clothes and probably distributing them to the needy. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 9, Paul describes a support group that the church in Ephesus had for such widows. In order to be enrolled in this group, Paul says in verse 10, a woman must be well reported of good for good works, if she had brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, if she had relieved the afflicted, if she had diligently followed every good work. Dorcas was known for her good works and acts of love for the poor. She was much loved in the community of Joppa. Just like where we see the gospel impacted the life of Saul in conversion, we see the gospel impact in this woman in her service for the Lord Jesus Christ. When she became ill and died, the believers who knew Dorcas heard that Peter was in the nearby town of Lydia, and they sent for him. The Bible does not specifically say that the disciples at Joppa were hoping for Peter to resurrect Dorcas, but they did call urgently for him. When Peter arrived at the home where Dorcas' body had been laid out, he went up to see the body. There were many widows there weeping. They all showed Peter the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Tangible evidence of Dorcas' loving service in the church. What happened the next is proof that our God is full of glorious, unrestrained power. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed and turned him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. This woman, Dorcas, is a fine example of how we are to meet the needs of those around us. Christians are to continue to remember the poor. Part of religion that God our Father accepts is to look after orphans and widows in distress. James chapter 1, verse 27. This was the type of religion Dorcas practiced. Dorcas' service was practical. She saw the widows in Joppa and their children needing clothes, and she set out to provide clothes for them. She had the money to buy material and the skill to sew suitable garments for them. Also, Dorcas' service meant hard work. Scripture says that she was full of good works, meaning she did them all the time. All the clothes were hand-sewn. The gospel empowered Dorcas to service. And the Lord has created each one of us with a great variety of gifts and talents. You may not be able to preach or teach. That may not just be your gift. But the Lord has raised up you to have other gifts to serve the Lord and to encourage the saints of God. You may be able to sing or paint or teach or write. Perhaps you can sew or cook. There are good works that we can do using these talents to care for others and to serve others. Again, these good works bring praise to God and are a channel of His grace to others. Using our gifts for God's glory is evidence of the gospel making an impact in our lives. The scripture makes it clear that they will know us by our fruits. The gospel impact not only impacts sinners in conversion, but we see here clearly in the life of Dorcas that this woman was already saved. She already was converted, and the fruit of that was seen in her good works. We can use our talents for the good of others and for the glory of God. The gospel impacted Dorcas, and this was evident in her service to others. And I think that's what makes the body of Christ so special and unique, is that each one of us has talents from the Lord that we can use to encourage one another and to build up the saints of God. So far we've looked at how the gospel impacts in salvation and in service. Let us consider thirdly and finally how the gospel impacts society. We read in Acts chapter 9 verse 42, "And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." The resurrection of Dorcas was a major reason so many people in Joppa believed. This miracle performed in the name of the Lord led many to faith in Christ. It changed that city of Joppa. It changed the way people thought about the Lord. And it created an impact in the society that only the gospel could impact. And there are many examples of how the gospel impacts society. There's so many numerous examples. I want to just quote one example of how the gospel impacts the society. This is a practical example shared by a woman by the name of Miriam Adeney in her book, Kingdom Without Borders, The Untold Story of Global Christianity. Listen to her testimony in terms of how the gospel impacts society. Sometimes the gospel saves a whole people from annihilation. In Borneo, in the middle of the 19th century, the British governor prohibited headhunting and improved agricultural methods. More rice and freedom from fear led to more fermented beverages, partying, and heavy drinking. Alcoholism became a major scourge. Families were broken, and violence erupted frequently. Then in Australia, several Christians felt called to serve the Lunbuang and Kalibit people. When they arrived, officials tried to discourage them. They said it was not worthwhile because those people are going to disappear. They will be gone in a generation. Nevertheless, the missionaries did go. They shared God's good news. The people responded. Lives were changed. They quit drinking. Families were healed. They asked the government for schools. Today, they are literate, contributing citizens, including believers in nearby tribes. There are 150,000 followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in more than 1,000 churches. They say the gospel saved us not only as individuals, but as a people. And the fact is, laws are not enough. Government is not enough. Education is not enough. Economic development is not enough. The gospel saves and transforms society. And we see that here in the example of Acts chapter 9. Remember the Gospel of Matthew, where it ends with these inspiring words. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The need for the gospel to impact our sin-sick society is great. We need the gospel to impact Greenville, to impact Indianapolis, to impact where we live. May God use the gospel to save, empower, and transform lives, just like He did here in Acts chapter 9. Let us remember that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let us pray.